Lord, help us to commence his worship this evening hour by singing hymn number 710. 710. No wisdom of man can spy out his heart. The Lord only can show his hidden part. Nor yet are men willing to have the truth told. The sight is too killing for pride to behold. Hymn number 710. us read for our instruction from the Word of God out of the second book of Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and told and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not, then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth, For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. And Naaman said, Be content, take two talents. And he urged him, and bound two talents of silver in two bags, with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not my heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. May the Lord bless unto us this portion of his holy word, and help us now again at the throne of grace. O thou great and holy, the high and eternal God, who dwelleth in light that no man can approach unto, who hideth thyself in the darkness that no man can see. And yet, Lord, thou also hast revealed thyself in the dear person of thy Son. And we do pray that here tonight there may be some sweet discoveries of the Son of God into the hearts of sinners. May there be, Lord, some opening of eyes. May there be, Lord, some who shall behold his glory, to behold something of his, the beauty of the Son of God. Oh, indeed, Lord, there is such a beauty. Though by nature we are told there's no beauty in him that we should desire him, but souls that are taught of thee, souls who are blessed with grace, souls who are given to feel their need, will see a beauty and will be seeking after it. Oh, may there be some seekers here tonight those, Lord, who seek with all their heart, soul and mind. Oh, may that please thee, Lord, to work that grace in the hearts. And we hope, Lord, that there might be those seekers here tonight who shall be finders too, who shall be favoured to come into some sweet possession of the Son of God by precious faith, who shall experience, Lord, what it is, oh, for Christ to be revealed. Oh, those sweet moments, heavenly savouring seasons, oh, bless us with them now. Oh, again, we do acknowledge thy mercy, which hath brought us into thy house once more. We would not take these things for granted. And Lord, not only that we could gather once again, but still, Lord, in a measure of peace and freedom, that too, Lord, we would bless thee for. Oh, we know that all our times are in thy hand. But oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet remember us for good. We do humbly beg of thee that thou wilt be pleased then, Lord, to show yet unto us as well something of those eternal things. Oh, we speak of them, Lord, but we little see them. We little understand what they really are, their true nature. Oh, that thou wilt help us this night. May it be that our hearts, Lord, may be raised up. May we know, Lord, what it is to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we may, by precious faith, be favoured to look upon those precious things of heaven and earth. Yea, we read of thy servant of old, who was blessed for the dew of heaven. Oh, how we long, Lord, to know something of that. And not only the dew of heaven, but those showers of blessing. Oh, these are heaven's treasures, heaven's provision. And we long, Lord, to know something of those showers. When the word of God comes down like rain upon the mown grass. When indeed, Lord, there is such a gracious effect of that, of the words and the Spirit coming down, and Christ being formed in the heart, the hope of glory. When there is then, Lord, a lifting up of eyes unto Him. Oh, how wonderful, Lord, when a soul may experience that. And we would do pray and we would ask of thee that thou wilt grant it even tonight. Oh, that we may have that glimpse of Jesus. Oh, to see him, to feel our heart going after him, to know that he is made all things unto us, and that we receive all things in him. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt so come. Thou knowest, Lord, those hearts this evening who are in distress, those who are greatly troubled, those who are perplexed. Wilt thou in thy mercy look upon them, Lord, and be very gracious. We are reminded of how the city of Shushan, hearing the news that came from the king regarding the fate of the Jews of old, the city was perplexed. And Lord, we believe that such is the state of Zion today. That city is perplexed with all that takes place, with all that seems against us. Oh, thou seest, Lord, these things. And thou knowest, Lord, what the enemy would do. We can but commit ourselves unto thee and do humbly beg that thou, God, wilt yet grant some deliverances still, and that we may prove, Lord, that thou indeed dost still cast the rider and his horse into the sea. Oh, how we pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear our petitions, our prayers in this. Help us then. Oh, but we humbly pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet condescend to speak through thy word this evening, in the truth that is found in that, in the portion. And oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt give us that grace to open that word, to enlarge it, to set it forth. And may it be, Lord, that tonight the word of the Lord may have free course in our midst. And may there be, Lord, some entering in to hearts. We do pray that thou wilt remember even the youth. May their minds be so attracted, their thoughts drawn out. May they, Lord, find that help given, that they may hear with some measure of understanding. And others, Lord, who for a long time have come and sat in thy house, and yet, Lord, there is no change. There is no gracious effect. We pray, Lord, that the set time may come to favour, and that they may begin to tremble. They may begin to perceive their very state before thee. Oh, bless thy word to that end. Oh, remember us then. Remember such this evening who have conflicts, trials, who have, Lord, those burdens, inward and outward, who have those crosses to bear, who have indeed, Lord, that thorn in their flesh. Oh, thou knowest those in such a state. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet help them. Help them to bear up. Help them to come, cast it upon thee. And do, Lord, help them by way of deliverance. Oh, that thou wilt make all things work together for good, even to them. And what thou cause, Lord, that they may also find that in every adversity, the Lord is bringing them nearer and higher. Oh, bless them then, we pray. Remember yet, Lord, each family, and be gracious unto them. Oh, may there be yet, Lord, that spirit of love. And may it please thee, Lord, to give unto parents much grace and wisdom and help, that they may prove to be faithful, faithful in prayer, faithful in their teaching, faithful in their example. Oh, bless them then. Oh, we come, Lord, with our needs, our concerns. We would not forget yet, Lord, those who are laid aside. And thou knowest, Lord, their state. Thou knowest their fears, the weakness they have, the infirmity. Lord, thou art well acquainted. Thou hast appointed it. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant yet that help. Bless, Lord, all means that are used for the strengthening of the body, for the easing of pain. Oh, remember them then. But, oh, Lord, remember us each in that way, that we may feel our hearts weaned from the world, drawn away, our affections set more and more on things above. Oh, that we may, Lord, truly count the world a bubble. That, Lord, which shall soon burst, and all shall end. But oh, to have a good hope through grace. Oh, to be found ready and prepared, to be washed in that precious blood. Oh, to be find, Lord, that thou art our portion in the land of the living. Oh, hear us in this, Lord. We pray yet for the nations, our nation, all the nations. For thou knowest, Lord, all the distress there is, the many trials. Thou knowest too, Lord, how indeed men are left to confusion. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet again raise up the standard of thy word, even in our land. Oh, Lord, help us, deliver us from all these fears, from the pestilence that walketh in darkness, the destruction that wasteth at noonday. We do thank thee for multitudes of mercies, preservation and safekeeping. And we do ask that thou art then, Lord, accept us in that name of Jesus, pardoning all our sins through his precious blood, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us continue by singing hymn number 671. 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671. We'll direct your thoughts once more to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, reading verse 42. Mark, chapter 1, verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. We have noticed this morning something of the condition here, a foul condition as we brought it forth. And we noticed a good deal of that as it was brought to our minds. And when I was thinking of that this afternoon, dear friend, I could not help but think of that word of the Queen of Sheba. When she had come to prove the wisdom of Solomon and to see his glory, she answered, "The half was not told me." But we can take that in reverse here regarding our own state. If when our eyes are rightly opened and we perceive how black and foul and unrighteous and unholy we really are, we will say, "The half was not told." And who can tell it? Who can fully know it? God alone sees the real nature of our hearts, of our defiling state. And if he does indeed open our eyes just a little, we will at times stand in awe of it. We will be shocked. We will wonder. We will at times almost hardly believe it can be so. But the Lord opens it up more and more. Oh, the foul condition. But oh, when I think of that state, there's another word that comes to my mind, and that is the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." No matter how black he is, how vile he is, how sinful he has been, the awful things he has done, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." There, dear friends, is that mercy for these souls. But we also notice this morning something of the fervent cry. The foul condition, but the fervent cry that is here manifested by this leper who comes to Jesus. It was a cry for the remedy to be known. It was a cry of faith that was put up. It was a cry whereby he did come near unto Jesus. It was a cry that was put up with little strength. He had very little. But we would go on this evening to speak now of this cry before we consider the last two things, that being that full confession that is made, and lastly, the faithful compassion that was shown. This cry that is put up, it was indeed a cry for mercy. See, many a cry, different, doesn't have to have the word mercy in it. "God be merciful to me, a sinner." But by the petitions that are asked, mercy is implied. And many a time you will come to God if you are taught at all of God the Holy Spirit, and you will put up many petitions. In all of them, mercy is implied, mercy is sought, though it may not be expressed in words. And may God give us something of such a cry. Oh, even those needs that you have, those burdens you know, those fears, and that you seek the Lord to undertake to help you. Is there not the realization that it will be all of mercy if the Lord does help? If the Lord ever really draws near, oh, what mercy will be shown. And mercy will crown it all then, to be sure. Oh, this fervent cry. Remember how Bartimaeus, he cried unto the Lord. And we find that the people at that time that were around him urged him to be still, told him to be quiet. But what do we read about Bartimaeus? He cried so much the more. You see the difference between Bartimaeus and this leper, different. Bartimaeus had that strength of body to really cry out. The poor leper doesn't have that. If he was full of leprosy, and he was, his voice was now so weak, he couldn't cry out really. And it may be so you feel like that. You feel so weak. Your voice doesn't have the strength. But oh, there's that fervent cry nonetheless that has gone up. So Bartimaeus cries out. And so does this leper here. But there's a difference in cries. Let's go back just a few verses here in this chapter. In verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out. That is the unclean spirit. He cried out. But he doesn't cry out for help. He doesn't cry out for deliverance. He cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Oh, different, there are those that will cry out before God in that way. Solemn that state will be. It's put down here for us to consider, to compare ourselves unto. Oh, different, what a sad thing if our cry will be nothing more than the cry of the unclean spirit in God's great day. Or will it be the cry of this leper? In verse 26, "And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." Still crying. Well, you see, friend, there will be no end to his crying. There would be an end to the cry of the leper, but not to the unclean spirit. Not to those who are unclean before Almighty God. Their cries will go on. Their cries will only increase in hell itself. Oh, what a word there is here. What a solemn thought for us. Oh, to really cry. Again, when I think of this fervent cry, I'm reminded of how David cried. In Psalm 34:6, the well-known verse, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Oh, dear friend, if you and I ever come into something of that experience, there will be that cry like the leper here. This poor man cried. And indeed, when souls really cry unto Jesus, they will be poor. They will know their poverty. But oh, those are the ones that are heard. Time and time again, David speaks of something of those cries. In Psalm 120, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. David was a man who knew much of the crying unto God. Oh, different may we know it too. May the Lord give unto us that grace that we may truly cry with all our heart, soul unto him. Much later in the Psalms again, in Psalm 142, David speaks, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Oh, different, these are the experiences of those lepers before Almighty God. And they're crying. Oh, may God work something of these cries in our heart. Without a cry, there will be no answer. Without a cry, no deliverance. Without a cry, no receiving of mercy. But oh, to really cry. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. I want to come now to this full confession that is here in this whole account. Depends on a vital thing to make a real confession, a right confession. And when we think of making a confession, so often we apply it to someone who comes, say, before a church and makes some confession of faith. That's right in its way. That's good in its place. That's necessary. But oh, before we ever come to that, dear friend, we will know something of a good confession as the leper makes here. There must be many other confessions that must precede that, to be sure. In fact, I do sometimes wonder, dear friend, if that is the cause why there are many who never come before the church because they've never made any other confession. Solemn that will be. Is it so of you tonight? This is what you're wanting. This is what's lacking. Oh, down deep. Take away and be stripped away, dear friend, of all outward show of religion. Do we know something of a confession? A confession that's made before the Lord. This confession was not heard so much by others. I'm sure there were some others around. But it was a confession that was meant for the Lord. So often again, dear friend, when men make confession, it's meant that others might hear it and see it. But when the soul was brought by the Holy Ghost unto God Almighty in all their need, it's a confession they will make to the Lord himself. Now, what of this confession? First of all, there was a confession of his divinity. Mark that. Oh, and have you and I anything of that? A real confession of the divinity of the Son of God. Do we show that we believe that he is the Almighty? He is God. His disciples at times were wanting that understanding. Martha and Mary didn't see it at first. When Martha said unto him, I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. Notice the leper here. He doesn't speak like that. He doesn't come in the words of Martha. He had an insight. He had light. He had understanding that Martha did not yet have when she said that. His word is, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. Oh, he saw the divinity. He saw the Godhead. That which was so veiled in the person of the Savior as he walked here below, that so few were favored to see. This leper saw it. Oh, friend, that's a wonderful thing. Whatever his leprosy debarred him from, kept him from, it could not hide that truth of the Savior from him. And dear soul, your soul, in your condition, your state, however vile, it cannot, if God the Holy Ghost reveals it to you, cannot hide this from you either. The divinity of the Son of God. This is the most precious thing, the most glorious truth. When a soul is brought to see it, again, how does he show it? He comes with that word, Lord. Lord. Now, the poor leper here. Now, he doesn't say Lord here, but it's in one of the other Gospels. And he says Lord. Dear friend, it's a wonderful thing when we can use that word Lord, not out of any form or custom, not because we've been taught it from our youth up that he is such, but that we can acknowledge him as such. Remember what the Lord said again to the children of Israel, ye call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. They were claiming something which was wrong, false. But oh, to come with that word Lord. It's a wonderful word, that word Lord. What all is declared in it when a soul takes it. I wonder if you really have had any time when you have taken that word with such reverence, with such desire, and humbly acknowledging that he was such. Ah, this was that divinity. Again, we are told regarding this leper in his coming that, well, here in this text we read that he kneeled down. Oh, defend, when there's a right kneeling down, it's before the Lord there. You remember how Cornelius, when Peter and those with him had come into the house, Cornelius went and kneeled down, and Peter said, stand up. I myself also am a man. What is Peter saying? There's only one that we should kneel down to. There's only one God, one Lord. He alone is worthy to be kneeled down before. Oh, this man, he comes and he kneels down. But in Luke's Gospel, we read, and he fell upon his face before the Lord. Another evidence of the divinity of the Son of God. When one comes and falls down on their face before him. Oh, the soul is prostrate before the Lord then. Oh, if and may the Lord grant that we may know something of that. That divinity. But there's another aspect of it that manifested and proved something of this divinity. We read in Matthew's Gospel that he came and worshipped him. You know, there's a few of these accounts where that word worship is brought in. Here, this leper, he came and worshipped him. How did he worship? By the things that he asked. By the great thing that he asked. By the impossible thing that he asked. He was worshipping Almighty God. Oh, dear friend, if God would help us understand this, to really see it. This is what real worship is. Much more than than all of our coming into the house of God and reading His Word, hearing it expounded, going through all the motions, that dear friend, doesn't rise up to worship as this does. Oh, to worship Him. We read in the psalm, to worship in the beauty of holiness. And that is how this leper came. Oh, you see, this is what he was confessing here now. The divinity of the Son of God. You remember the well-known case of that woman from Syrophoenicia, who, coming out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon, beseeching the Lord for her daughter, and the Lord for a time shunning her, answering nothing, speaking against her, until he come to that word, it is not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs. We read, then came she near unto him and worshipped, saying, Truth, Lord. That she came a little bit later. She came saying, Lord, help me. And that was her worship. And she asked for that help. Oh, this is what the leper does here when he came and worshipped. Lord, if thou wilt. Oh, dear friend, have you really come to worship him in that way? With a specific request. With such a request that only he could answer. This poor man had nowhere else to go. No priest could help him. No Israelite could help him. In fact, they would turn from him. They despised him. And I'm sure, dear friend, he knew much of that. In his condition, he was so despised. Dear children, just a word here. There may be many a time you may see somebody that perhaps has some deformity, and you may despise them. I look back when I was a little boy. There was a relative of one of my cousins, wasn't mine, from their other side, who had been in a car accident, and it left her very deformed. I say this to my shame, but we were visiting with my cousins, and that aunt of theirs came. And in my ignorance, foolishness, I said to my mother, that lady that looked like a witch, is she the one in the accident? I can tell you, dear friends, I never said it again. Never did I receive such a scolding. And when I got home, much more than that. Don't despise those with various troubles, afflictions, deformities. This leper was. They all were. His case being so progressively worse, no doubt much more. Oh, but he came. He came to that one who would not despise him. You may despise yourself. A good thing when we do. We're right to do that. But the Lord doesn't despise souls who are so afflicted, souls who are so burdened, souls who are so needy. So he comes with this confession. But secondly, there was something else in his confession that he makes here, and all different this too is exceeding great. What does he confess beside the divinity of the Son of God? He confesses his power. That's what he confesses. When he speaks that word, Lord, thou canst make me whole, make me clean. There, his eye was now fastened upon that power of the Lord. The healing that he needed, and he needed a great healing. That healing was in the power of the Lord to do. This is what he sees now. This is what he makes confession of when he comes with these words. May the Lord give us to see something of that just ourselves in our condition and need, that we might rightly confess his power. Oh, defend your sins if you are rightly aware of them, rightly aware and made to realize how awful they are and the defiling nature of them, the corruption. If I know to come to this Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me from these sins. Here is an acknowledging of power. That power to truly heal. But dear friends, it went right beyond the healing. He saw there was a power to restore again. Now you know, a doctor may have gifts of healing through medicine, but he can't restore. Only the Lord can restore. I will restore unto thee the years that the locusts have eaten. Restore. Oh, if there was a restoring. We have many different examples of it in the Word of God. That great woman, the Shunammite, who came in Elisha's day and made the little room for him to stay when he traveled through. You remember, she was then told to go with her family to another country before the famine hit. And when she returns, she comes back to the king to ask for her house. And what was the word of the king? Restore unto her all that that land had been, would have brought forth in those years that she was gone. Restore unto her. Oh, this restoring of Almighty God. This is what he wants now. And so, dear soul, what about you tonight? Oh, do you not want a restoring of the Lord to restore you to something of union and fellowship, which was lost in the fall? Oh, restoring of such things. And that felt nearness unto him. Oh, what a restoring there will be then. Or again, when we think of this restoring that the leper here wanted and sought for. Oh, you see, different, it was to remove the effects now of that leprosy. Oh, there were so many effects in his body. See, the leprosy could have been stopped. But what about all that had taken, was gone in the body already? No, he wants the Lord to make a complete restitution of that. That corruption that is set in. Oh, but what about a soul feeling the state of his sin and the corruption of it? Do you want not want the Lord to restore unto you that corruption that was had taken effect, taken hold? The pollution of the body in that way. To remove that completely. Or again, to remove the curse. What a curse leprosy was. And what a curse we feel to be in. Oh, and when he comes praying, Lord, I know that thou canst cleanse me. He was in essence seeking that power of Almighty God to remove the curse from him too. Oh, and these were the things that he confessed when he comes down to the Lord. But now, what of this faithful compassion? If and when we come now to this point, when this leper comes to Jesus with his great request, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. See what he's doing. The whole scene is about to change. Now, the eyes are to be taken away from the poor leper. Taken off that poor wretched man. And everything now is to be centered upon the Savior. There now our eyes are to be fastened. There we are to be watching. This is what is taking place here when he comes in this way. He, as it were now, is putting the Savior in the spotlight. Oh, different. For us to do that by precious faith. When we come to him in such a way to put him in the spotlight. Oh, I think of those words in Luke chapter 4 when he appeared in the temple after being baptized. And the ruler of the synagogue, it was then. He gave him the book of scriptures. And he read out of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61. But we read this word. And the eyes of all were fastened upon him. The eyes of all. Ah, and that is now what takes place here. And when the leper comes and falls at his feet. And with that petition, he now is setting Jesus forth. What would Jesus do now? Will he hear this cry? Will he help this poor wretch? Will he grant him his petition? All now comes down to the Savior. What a scene it is when it's so turned unto him. It's turned from the sufferer to the mighty God. Oh, and when you and I are unable to do that, oh, we're in a very good place. The Lord help us there. And Jesus. Precious Jesus. Lovely Jesus. The friend of sinners. The helper of the helpless. The God of all mercies. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Oh, this moving of the Savior. This is what such sinners do, coming to him. They will move him. Oh, the Lord won't sit. He won't be still. Ah, someone is saying perhaps, But I've endeavoured to come. I've sought, I've prayed, I've asked, I've inquired. I've besought him. But I don't perceive that he's really stirring at all. Oh, if I know there's often such a time when the Lord will yet exercise a soul, a time when he yet will teach them more, many more things of themselves, before he will truly arise for them, when he will truly appear to deliver them. Oh, remember, dear friend, the Lord has set a season most fit to manifest his grace and to show his divine favor. And Jesus moved with compassion. Oh, now, dear friend, think first of this, the depth of compassion that's in him. Depths. Depths unmeasured. Depths which cannot be told. His compassion's so great. Oh, we bless God that he is that Savior who's so compassionate. The hymn writer put it so beautifully, compassion in his heart is found, hard by the signals of his wound. The more those wounds he received, a friend, it drove compassion deeper into the dear Son of God. Not out of him, but deeper into him. Oh, this is the wonder of it all. The grace and the favor of Almighty God. There were depths of compassion now that this leper could never fathom. They were ready to flow out of the dear Savior unto him. Oh, think of these, this compassion of the Savior, and that not only was it the depths of compassion, but the tenderness of that compassion. Sometimes, you know, someone may have compassion on another, but it's not with much tenderness, really. When that unjust judge said, I will now grant unto this woman that which she required, for by her continual coming she wearies me. He had compassion, but there was no tenderness with it. I say, dear friend, if you ever receive compassion from the dear Savior, it'll be full of tenderness. You and I can't really grasp or fathom the real tenderness that's in his heart. Oh, it's there for these souls. His heart is moved for them, to be sure. But then, not only is there that tenderness of the compassion, but there's this, there's understanding. Again, we may have compassion on somebody and yet not really understand their real need. Oh, I say, dear friend, when the Savior manifests something of his compassion, it's full of understanding. He understands that which you feel. He understands that which you are grieving over. Oh, he understands, dear friend, how you languish. He understands your helplessness. He understands your fears. Oh, the compassion. This is what this leper now draws out of the Savior. He draws it out. Like the woman who came behind the press and touched the hem of his garment, and virtue went out. It was drawn out. The Savior himself said, I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Oh, different understanding goes out of him. Get on to these souls. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. But then too, different in this compassion of the dear Saviour, in all its fullness, depth, tenderness, and understanding, there's this aspect of it. The yearning. Oh, as much as that leper hoped that the Lord would have compassion, as much as you, poor soul, may come and hope that, much more does his heart yearn to show it. You know, sometimes when we have something of a yearning to do something for a friend, for a loved one, oh, the yearning is so great, they don't need to ask us. The yearning in the heart to do it for them. A parent to a child. The yearning. Oh, different, what a yearning there is in the Saviour's compassion toward souls like this. Toward these needy ones. Helpless ones. Oh, then too, he is ready. Oh, different, how ready he is now. We sometimes sing that hymn, "He is ready, he is able, doubt no more." Oh, but here he shows that readiness. See how quick is his response. As soon as he had spoken, in the verse previous, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." Oh, the putting forth of that hand, that touch. What was in that touch? Not just healing, though that was in it. What did he say by that touch to that leper? I've already touched upon it. "I don't despise you. I won't keep a distance from you, though others do." Oh, different, here is the loving kindness of the Saviour. When he touches the soul, it's the touch of comfort. Is he not the great comforter? "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." Ah, says Paul, to the Corinthians, we would have you to be comforted with that which whereby we are comforted. Oh, from him. Oh, even that's the touch of comfort. Not only the touch of comfort, it's the touch of acceptance. This leper is accepted by God. When a poor sinner comes and receives something of that touch, he's accepted. Again, it's the touch of assurance. Oh, dear friend, what a sweet assurance now the leper had of the Saviour's willingness, the Saviour's desire, the Saviour's delight to do this for him. Oh, this is that nature of that touch. That cleansing. He's cleansed from all his defilement. For we read, "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately." Not by progression, not by degrees, but an immediate recovery. You know, when we think of that man that was blind, and how the Lord put the clay on the eyes, and asked if he saw aught, he said, "Yes, I see men as trees walking." It wasn't an immediate recovery yet. something more still was wanted. And with many of the Lord's dear people, they found there was something to with that. But oh, there are times. And it's times when it appears most unlikely. When we can't even grasp it. Surely our condition is so far beyond it that if indeed we're to be recovered, it will be here a little, there a little. But no. Here it is set before us. And immediately he was cleansed. The leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. We read this evening of the cleansing of Naaman. When finally he was set free of his own pride. And humbled himself in that measure to go down into Jordan's river and dip the 7 times. And he came up in his flesh like a little child. Ah, dear friend, what was the flesh of this man? If that leprosy departed from Naaman in such a way, how much more was the flesh of this leper now? What a sight it must have been. How he must have stood forth to those all around. If indeed at one time those who had saw that blind man in John chapter 9 saying, is this thy son that was born blind? How is it that he now sees? They must have said of this, how is it that he stands here so pure, skin so beautiful? Ah, but then what is it for a poor sinner? Cleansed of that sin, washed from all his filth, to stand without spot before God and men, before God and angels. As soon as he had spoken. Oh, but dear friend, that's what you and I want for the Lord to speak. Speak, Lord, and thy servant shall be whole. Oh, dear friend, he there proved something too of the power of his word. When the disciples asked, what manner of man is this that the wind and the waves obey him? Or again, that the devils are subject to him. Now, that this awful disease is subject to him. Oh, divine, what many lessons we have here. Precious teachings. May the Lord direct these things into our heart. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Let's continue by singing hymn number 306. 306. Oh, the pangs by Christians felt when their eyes are open, when they see the ghast of guilt they must wade and grope in, when the hell appears within, causing bitter anguish, and the loathsome stench of sin makes the spirit languish. Hymn 306. forgive. Oh, that thou hast seen amiss in our worship, and take us on to our homes in peace. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us. Amen.